Good morning.
Good morning.
I am the redeemed of the Lord.
I am the redeemed of the Lord.
The name and the blood of the Lamb,
the name and the blood of the Lamb
has set me free.
Has set me free.
Ushered me into liberty.
I was born again
to be His light,
shining forth
upon the earth. Go ahead and sit down. Glad you're here today. We'll be getting into the Word in just a moment. My little sister and my nephew are with us today. For the sake of her ego, I have to pretend that she's a younger sister. Joel, would you come and greet the people? My nephew, Joel Tassiello.
Good morning, house of the Lord.
Good morning.
Wow. It is good to be here. We came just for a little hang time. Need to do that every now and again. And so consequently, we get to hang with you just a little bit, and I'm thrilled about doing that as well. When I realized that he was going to hand me the mic for just a minute, I just asked the Lord, what? What do you want to say? Hi. It's great to see everybody. And you had some great words here this morning already. This is phenomenal. Well done, Michelle. Praise team, you guys kicked it today. Just everything has just been stellar and phenomenal. And he just dropped this on me. This has been going on in my spirit now for a couple of months. But this, I believe this has unique perspective here for House of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful in every circumstance, for this is God's will concerning you. We've heard that a bunch. So in no excuses, I ask people all the time, I say, how many of you just had a crazy week from Hades? And, you know, you'll get, you know, some people raising hands. I said, how many of you just had a stellar week? It's just been phenomenal. And you'll see some other people raise their hands. Then I say, what's the natural response, regardless of what kind of week you think you've had? And everybody begins to say, it's time to praise the Lord. And so we don't thank God necessarily for the junk that we're dealing with, but in the midst of it, we give Him thanks for it. And so I want you to understand that when you choose to do that, it gives your praise and your honor to the Lord a different flavor. Some of us are waiting until we feel good. When I feel like going to church, when I've had enough sugar, and when I've had my coffee of the morning, then I'll choose to give God praise. I'm telling you, when you're feeling terrible, that's when you need to be worshiping the Lord. That's when you need to be praising Him. That's when you need to put a smile on your face. I don't know how many times that I felt in the natural low. I'll get a phone call. You look at that caller ID and don't look at me with holy eyes like you don't know what I'm talking about. But you say, oh, Lord, I don't have time for this. But I answer the phone and they begin to tell me what's going on in their life. And it activates the anointing of God on the inside of me. My flesh is dead to the world. All I want to do is sit back and do nothing. But because they put a demand on the anointing of God on the inside of me, there's a natural response that comes from my spirit. And I begin to minister to them even over the phone. So I love the word that you gave this morning was activate. That's not just action of doing different things within the body, although it doesn't exclude that either. But I want you to understand, we're not coming to watch the anointing on Pastor Jim and Sister Lou and the rest of the staff. We're not coming to see the show and tell and see if we can be inspired to kind of get through another week. But rather, we need to understand that the same anointing that's on them is on us. So we need to activate the anointing of God that's on the inside of us, not only for them, but for ourselves and for one another. So we've got to get past the emotional thing. Listen, if you want sugar, turn on TV. There's a lot of sugar preachers out there, give you lots of frosted flakes, make you feel real good for about 10 minutes. But I love the fact that in this place, you get the unadulterated word. You get the castor oil, and you get your vegetables, and you get some meat, and you get the full diet here. You know, the Bible says that who much is given, much will be required. And I'm telling you, house of the Lord, you got it great, because you've been getting great, great diets here. But I believe we're going to be held accountable to a higher level than what most are too, because of the word's been invested in your life. So I'm just asking you today, not just today, but the rest of the week, begin to look at your finances, begin to look at your relationships, begin to look at what's going on and realize the anointing of God is on the inside of you to speak to that stuff. Every morning I get up and I have some people that I call out to the Lord. Pastor Jim is one of them. He's a walking miracle if you haven't figured that out yet. But I didn't come to watch him be that miracle. I came to participate in the miracle that God is doing in his life. How many wants to be a participant? That's what I'm looking for. You guys are loved. I'm glad to be here. Hopefully I'll get to shake and hug your hands and hug your necks. I'm not going to shake your neck. That wouldn't be good. Love you guys very, very much.
The men of valor are placing notes in your hands. I love praise reports. Pastor, this past Thursday morning, I went to Lowe's Nursery to buy plants and seeds for the church flower beds. I purchased a large tray of yellow marigolds, bedding plants, and seed packets for white marigolds and zinnias. Late Thursday evening, I planted the seeds. The marigolds were to germinate in 7 to 14 days, and the zinnias in 5 to 10 days. I declared as I planted them that they would sprout within 3 days or by Sunday evening. This morning early, Sunday morning, I looked to see how the seeds were doing. Already 4 marigolds have sprouted and 3 zinnias have sprouted, exceeding the time set for being above the surface by this evening. So I know the rest are coming up by their declared time in a third to a fourth of the normal planting time, normally given for germination. I thank God that He has given us dominion over the earth. I often use my dominion over the earth in other ways, such as by casting roaches out of my living space and declaring that Joey, my Yorkie, has no fleas or ticks, to control strong winds and declare rain to be gentle and not destructive. How great our Lord is to give us this ability. P.S. More seeds have sprouted by the time I left for church. You can talk to your plants, or you can take authority over your plants. That was from Sister Ruth. Thank God that someone is lending a hand to get the flower beds up and pretty for the spring. Amen. Praise God's blessings be to Daddy God. God is most amazing. Short version. I recently received my bachelor's degree. This news was mentioned to the director. The management office was so excited and told me that they've been waiting on me. I was told to apply for the accounting supervisor position through the hiring manager. I was also told that this was not a request. This new position would cause me to skip 4 levels of accounting positions and go straight into management. God did this in the season of more than enough. Go higher, go further, go into the promises and blessings of God, Sister Lethesia Stevens. I love praise reports when people take a promise of God and activate it in their life. I told you a couple of Sundays ago as we brought you the message on Ready to Reap that we are in a season of harvesting seeds long time planted. I trust that you haven't forgotten about seeds that you've planted, things you've been believing God for, things that you invested in, expecting a return. 2017 is the year of harvesting seeds long time planted. Amen. The blessings of the Lord are waiting to overtake you. Amen. Are you waiting to cooperate with those blessings?
Yes.
Today I want to talk for a moment about the reward of being steadfast, immovable, unshakable. A lot of people have not got their spiritual sight turned on. They still have their natural sight turned on. I can't tell you in the last million years of ministry how many people I've had tell me, well, if I could just see an angel, if the Lord would just appear to me, if I could just hear God's voice. God can't trust you with those things because you want God to enter the natural before you enter the spiritual. And to people who are always saying, oh, if I could just see an angel, if I could just see this or see that, I want to draw you to the people of Israel before we get into the scriptures. And I want you to remember the Exodus of Israel began with God appearing in the natural in a bush that was on fire but not being consumed. You ever stop to think of what a bush looks like that's on fire but the leaves are not burning up, the limbs are not burning up? There was a prophecy in that that it took Moses a long time to understand. God can come on the natural, manifest himself on the natural without making a change to the natural. That's the law. Under grace, when God comes on you, it makes a change in you and you're consumed with his presence. Moses couldn't be consumed with his presence because grace was not yet available. And if God's presence had come to consume, he would have been destroyed by the sin in his life. You, however, don't have to worry about the sin question because Jesus never bore your sins on the cross. He bore sin, period. The children of Israel all got that story. Then Moses goes to Egypt, and the serpent story, you remember? He threw his rod down, it became a snake. The magicians threw their rods down, they became snake. His snake ate their snakes. Because God doesn't put up with copycats. The children of Israel saw water flow from a rock. They had 40 years of heating and air conditioning. A lot of people express the fact that their clothing did not wear out. I've got something more exciting than that. Their clothing grew with them. There's no mention in Scripture of the children of Israel stopping off at Ross Dress for Less and getting a new wardrobe. Now imagine you were one of the children that came out of Egypt. In 40 years, you're going to grow a little bit. Your size 4 sandals have now got to be size 9. Your mini robe has now got to be a maxi robe. They experienced daily God raining food down out of heaven. And yet, with God appearing on the mountain and the earth itself shaking to where their socks were scared clean off of them, they still didn't believe God. So understand today, it's not about God meeting you in the natural. It's about you meeting him in the supernatural. Because God doesn't want to live in the natural. He wants to live in the supernatural. Yet people still today are trying to boil God down to, if I could see a sign, if I could hear the angels sing. None of that matters until you're willing to meet God in the holy place. Then God can meet you in the unholy place. But until you know Him in spirit and in truth, and I've had people ask me, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? It means you worship Him out of your spirit, whether you feel like it or not. And worship Him in truth means you celebrate with God what His Word says to you. Thy Word, O Lord, is truth. To worship God in spirit and truth is to worship Him in the realm of the Spirit and then worship Him in the realm of His Word. Because when you begin to worship God in the realm of His Word, the Word becomes real to you. Daddy, you said, with His stripes I was healed. I want to thank You for that. I want to celebrate that. I want to praise You that it's true. I receive it as an established fact in my life. With His stripes I was healed. And it doesn't matter how often my body lies to me, Your truth stands firm. Amen. I choose to stand with Your Word. Yes. Well, Pastor, how long do I have to do that? I'll just shut up and go home and suffer. If you want to put a time frame on the things of God, you don't deserve the things of God. But if you're willing to say, I'll stand here forever if it takes it, then you won't be there but a minute. Because God is not looking for your impatience. He is looking for your agreement. So I take you to Hebrews chapter 3 today as we begin to talk about the reward of being steadfast. You have two pages of notes. The first page is the scripture. The second page is comments. Take care, brethren, lest there not be any of you with an evil heart. Pastor, what's an evil heart? One that's thinking about smoking and drinking, running around? No. God called an evil heart one that wouldn't believe Him. I was watching Hacksaw Ridge yesterday. If you haven't seen it, it's a film very much worth seeing. And in it, they repeatedly said the worst sin a person can commit is to take another life. That's not true. The worst sin you can commit is not to take God at His word. God was dealing with a people who had open orgies, built idols, consume themselves with too much wine. They got into all types of physical sin. God never mentioned their physical sin. He mentioned their unbelief. We, on the other hand, want to build a mountain out of thou shalt nots. And we can't hang out with them. They smoke, they drink, they run around. No. The person sitting next to you that won't believe God's word is committing a far more heinous sin. Because to deny His word is to deny God.
All right.
Take care, brethren, lest there not be any of you with an evil heart, unbelieving heart, that falls away from the living God. He said, you've got to watch out that you do not let unbelief build an evil heart in you. Falling away happens when you are hearers of the word but don't do it. You've got to do what God's Word says. God, your Word says you supply all my need. Therefore, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to get another bowl of Bluebell while you pay my bills. Verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Again, that is not talking about the sin of commission. It is a sin of omission, failing to believe God, failing to accept His Word as ultimate authority. God and His Word are one. Day after day, be an everyday source of encouragement, pointing others to it is written. The deceitfulness of sin means lying signs or symptoms that deny the word of truth. Because you're going to say, with his stripes I was healed. Oh Lord, what is that pain? Because the devil is going to come immediately to steal that word. God, I want to thank you that you pay all my bills. Oh no, here comes the mailman, and it'll be nothing but bills. What difference does it make how many bills come in the mail if he supplies all your need? It's when you don't believe his word that you get worried about the first of the month. Yes, we should work. A person that doesn't work and support his family is worse than an infidel. I have no use for a person that won't work and support their family, because that's manhood 101. I have no use for a woman who won't take care of her house and their belongings. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance until the end. What was the beginning of your assurance? Every one of you began your relationship with God based upon scripture that said if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you would be born again. Well, if you got into the family believing His Word, hold fast to that initial zeal. And if you were somebody who is still struggling with your salvation, maybe you weren't born again. Maybe you only asked God to save you. I don't know how it has happened through the years that we have replaced Scripture with religion. But you hear all the time preachers come forward and ask God to forgive you, and you'll be born again. That's not what the Word of God says. It said, believe in your heart and confess with the mouth that He is Lord. Because right from the beginning, God wants you to have a king in your life. He wants you to have a Lord in your life. And if all you have is a Savior in your life, it don't stick. Many people have been in church for decades and have never come under lordship. They ask God to forgive them, but they never received Him as Lord. And because of that, they have trouble walking in victory. They have trouble walking in victory because they don't have a Lord, they have a Savior. God doesn't want you to get saved. He wants you to be born again, out of the kingdom of earth into the kingdom of heaven. What it is today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Paul is pointing back to the children of Israel in the wilderness who had God come down to them, but they would not come up to him. And he said, today, when I speak, if you'll hear my voice, whether it is me personally or my fivefold ministry delivering my word, if you'll hear the word as from me and not provoke me by doubting me, you know what's going to happen? Well, let's start with the negative side of it if it doesn't happen. For who provoked him when they had heard? And indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? One translation said, whose dismembered bodies collapsed in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't believe God would do what he said he would do. You have over 300 promises that God has made to you. And I know a few of those are double, but there's over 270 promises, but some of them are pointed at from a different direction, and it's more or less the same promise. But with 300 promises concerning your health, your wealth, your joy, your peace, your eternal security, we should be in a continual state of thanksgiving. Because there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. Anything that has to do with life and that more abundantly and godliness, there's a promise that covers it. If you take that promise, this is God speaking. God, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. So this loneliness is a lying symptom, and I curse it and cast it from me. You said that you would supply all of my need. I refuse to be under the load of these bills and debts. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how it's coming. I don't know on what wings it'll fly, but it's coming. The word I gave you about 2017, if you received that word, you've already made it a part of your praise life. Daddy God, I thank you that seeds long time planted are harvesting this year, and I'm receiving their abundance, their bounty. And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who are disobedient? Did you know you can't enter into the rest of God while doubting God? The rest comes from accepting him as honest, truthful, and willing to perform what he said. I can rest in that. Over the last 8 years, there have been times that I had to convince myself to get up. There have been days that pain would try and ravage my body. But I learned a long time ago, those are all lying symptoms that are coming to try and get me off of my faith. Lou and I, over the last couple of hundred years that we've been together, have had times where We couldn't afford gas to get to church. But we would celebrate that he would supply our need. And I've had one Sunday somebody knocked on my door. They had never tithed. Not in the entire time they were at church, they had never tithed. And on a Sunday morning, they knocked on my door and said, "We came to bring you our tithes. We just felt like the Lord was instructing us to." I went, "What about the other million times he instructed you?" No. I was gracious and thanked them, closed the door and said, "We got gas. We got groceries." Because God can move on people that he's never moved on before when you're celebrating your victory. Yes, yes, sir. Well, Pastor, I've just been praying that God would. Well, shut up, fool. It hadn't worked yet. Why don't you learn a lesson? You don't have to pray for anything. There's a promise that covers it. You return his promise to him and celebrate that it's true. Instead, people are, "God, when are you going to heal me?" You aren't bright enough to recognize that he healed you 2,000 years ago. Why do you expect an answer now? Instead, you say, "God, I thank you that this lie is leaving me. Your word said I'm healed. With his stripes I were healed 2,000 years ago. I was healed before I got sick. This is not my sickness. It don't belong to me." Don't go to God and say, "Oh God, help my headache." You've already owned it. No, "God, thank you for getting this lie off of me." So we see that they were not able to enter his rest because of unbelief. What keeps you from the promises of God? Do you believe his promises enough to celebrate them before they manifest? When you learn to celebrate his promises just because he's honest, then they will begin to manifest on a regular basis. That's why when we had nearly $3 million in medical bills, we celebrated. And my wife said, "How do you know it's going to happen?" And I told her, "Because I know." "Well, how do you know this is the way he's going to do it?" "Because it's the only window I see open. So I'm praising God that through that window is coming our abundance." And one day the phone rang and it said, "All of your bills are paid in full." And Lou said, "What do you mean?" She had it repeated a couple of times. Because when you've been struggling in the bank, I mean the hospital and the doctors have been saying, "We need a check this week for $10,000. We need a check for this. We need a check for that." And all of a sudden what you've been believing God for happens and they're all paid. It takes you a second to catch up with your manifestation. But my God supplies all of my needs, whether it's gas money, food money, or millions of dollars. They were not able to enter the rest. What rest? The rest of God had promised. Houses you didn't build. Crops you didn't plant. Orchards you didn't tend. Cities you didn't erect. I'm giving it to you. And the ones who did build it, plant it, and tend it will become your servants. So I'm giving you a new life. You left slaves, you're now slave owners. enjoy the rest of the Lord. Oh, that's too good to be true. Why would he do that for me? He's not doing it for you. He's doing it for his word. Therefore, let us fear in that fear. It's a reverential appraisal of what is on the table. It's not, oh no, I'm afeared. No. It's a reverential appraisal of what God's put on the table. Let's see here. He promised me this. He promised me this. He promised me that. God is faithful. Therefore, all of you are coming to me now. God, I don't know how close they are, but I know they're en route. Yes. And I just want to celebrate it. I celebrate daily that I am the healed of the Lord. Amen. Well, Pastor, anyone looking at you can tell you're not. That's because they're in the natural and I'm in the spiritual. And my God has made me a promise. I walk in divine health. He renews my youth as the eagles. Amen. Therefore, let us take a reverential appraisal of what is laid on the table while a promise remains of entering into his rest. Any one of you may seem to come short of it. Paul is saying, every promise on the table, look at it, evaluate it, lay claim to it, celebrate it, stand with it. It will defend you. God's word will plead your case and defend your cause if you'll let it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith and those that believed. You've got to mix what God promised with faith. Pastor, what is faith? Trust. Faith is not synonymous with believing. It's synonymous with trust. That's why God is so particular about it. To not believe his word is to not trust him. If you don't trust him, how can he operate on your behalf when you don't receive him as your agent of supply? My God is not handcuffed. My God does not have to defeat the devil to get something to me. That happened 2,000 years ago. For we who have believed enter that rest. Just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Believing brings receiving. And it says, although his works were finished from the beginning, that means before he set man in the earth, all of his promises to him were already settled, awaiting man to take advantage of them. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. Pastor, why did they put that in there? To let you know that God considers it done. He put in a full week, and then he rested because he was already done. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Before man was created that would need salvation, God had already provided it. When the anointed Redeemer had fulfilled the destiny that was set before him in his earth walk, he cried, "It is finished," and left the outcome to the Holy Spirit. What was he saying? It is finished. Everything I was sent to do. the plan for man's salvation, the plan for man to enter the royal family of Jehovah, Lord of hosts. It's all done, and now I'm going to rest in the Lord. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Trust and obey. There is no other way. Feed your faith and starve your doubt. One of the greatest deterrents to faith is hearing what God has not said. I can't afford to listen to anything that disagrees with what God said. Father, we have brought your word, and your people have heard. And Father, we are becoming attentive to whatever you've said and written. We're laying hold of it and claiming it as our own. We will not be stolen from. We will not be deceived. We will not be cheated. We will not be cheated in any way. But Father, in everything, your word brings us victory. Your word assures us of the promised outcome. Therefore, Father, we and your word have become one, and your word is now our word. And the people said,
amen.
Your love go with God.